Have you ever felt like you've made the wrong judgment on a situation before? In my life, I've made thousands of bad judgments. Some good judgments, though, but most of the time, honestly, bad judgments. I can remember one time I was placed in a really important position to make a really, really important judgment. Probably one of the most important judgments I've ever made in my life, right? The honeymoon. Right? The one thing that was placed in my hands to control, like the accommodation, the flights, the activities, and everything that was honeymoon related was placed into my not so very capable hands. And on the first day of our honeymoon in Port Douglas, I thought it would be this great idea to head to this very off-the-grid, secluded waterfall called Windon Falls. So in my research, of this place, I was looking for hours and hours trying to find something that would suggest that this would be a suitable place for my wife and I to go on our very first day of our honeymoon. And I couldn't find anything. Like, Google Maps wouldn't show anything at all. I had to, like, put the coordinates into Google Maps so it actually come up with something. I was looking at vlogs, blogs, Instagram, and nothing was really coming up. But the idea of breathtaking views and natural waterfalls and natural swimming pools made it so difficult to resist. So Brooke and I went. And regret hit almost immediately. I'm not sure if it was the 3-hour drive to get there from our accommodation, or the 6-hour round hike in the middle of nowhere, or the lack of signage, the steep gravel roads that our Hyundai gets couldn't even get up. It was a disaster, an absolute disaster to say the least. But I had the ability to make the judgment. And I saw the truth about the situation, but I still succumbed to the flesh. And to be honest, it actually fractured a bit of trust there between my wife and I. And you see, the implications of my judgment were costly. And it was my first opportunity to show my wife, hey, you're safe with me for the rest of your life. And I stuffed it up. And we start there this morning because we're going to spend a few moments looking at someone who was in a position to make a very important judgment and a very important call. We're going to look at someone who made probably the most important judgment in history. We're going to look at Pontius Pilate, who made the decision to deliver Jesus over to be crucified on a criminal's cross that first Good Friday. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for this time that we can spend together. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for Good Friday. We thank you that we can have redemption in you because of Good Friday. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here in this auditorium today that hasn't put their hope and trust in you, that you would be ministering to their hearts, that you would soften their hearts to hear all that you have done, Lord, that you would give them no other, that you would give them no other reason but to put their hope and trust in you today. Amen. So to work out how Pontius Pilate got to this situation, how he got to this judgment, we have to work out who he was. So Pontius Pilate served as Roman governor of Judea between 26 AD to 36 AD. And according to the Gospels, the Sanhedrin, an elite council of priests and elders, they arrested Jesus during the Jewish festival, the Passover. And they were threatened by the teaching and influence of Jesus on the Jewish nation. And they pressured Pilate. He was the only one that had the ability to make the call. He was the only one who had the ability to make the judgment to have Jesus to be put to death on a Roman cross. And as judge, he initially pardoned Jesus because before bending the will, bending to the will of the crowd and condemned him to death. In the Gospel of John, Pontius Pilate poses this question to Jesus. He says, "What is truth?" And today we're faced with the exact same question that Pilate was faced with. What is the truth about Jesus Christ who died some 2,000 years ago as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? So why was Pilate called upon to judge Jesus? Well, the high priest of the Jewish religion and the Sanhedrin of ruling priests and elders had arrested Jesus to have him put to death. John records it like this in John 18, verse 19. It says, "The high priest then questioned Jesus and about his disciples and about his teaching. And Jesus answered him and said, I've spoken openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together. And I spoke nothing in secret. Why do you question me? Question those who have heard what I spoke to them. Behold, they know what I said.' And when he said this, one of the officers standing nearby gave Jesus a slap, saying, 'Is that the way you answer your high priest?' And Jesus answered him, 'If I have spoken wrongly, bear witness of the wrong. But if rightly, why do you strike me?' So Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest." You see, after this fake trial, they condemned Jesus for blasphemy. That is, for claiming to be God. However, they had a problem as a nation under Roman rule. The Jews didn't have any authority to put Jesus to death. This meant they had to convince the Roman governor that Jesus was guilty of a capital offense. Verse 29 says, "Therefore Pilate went out to them and said, 'What accusation do you bring against this man?' And they answered and said to him, 'If this man were not an evildoer, we wouldn't have delivered him over to you.' So Pilate said to them, 'Take him yourself and judge him according to your law.' And the Jews said to him, 'It's not lawful for us to put anyone to death, in order that the word of Jesus, which he spoke, would be fulfilled, signifying by what kind of death he was about to die.'" You see, in a strange way, the Jewish leaders were seeing to it that they were fulfilling the prophecy of their scriptures about their Messiah right in front of them. Absolutely amazing. Then they, verse 28 says, then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early. And they themselves did not enter the praetorium so they would not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. See, the praetorium was this palace of Pontius Pilate, and Jesus could have been taken into the outside plaza or the inner courtyard. He could have been taken anywhere. But they wanted this done in private because they didn't want it to happen during the Passover. Matthew recorded several interesting insights earlier. It happened that when Jesus had finished all these words, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man is to be delivered over for crucifixion." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people were gathered together in the court of the high priest named Caiaphas, and they plotted together to seize Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they were saying, "Not during the festival, not during the festival, lest a riot occur amongst the people." So yeah, on a number of occasions, Jesus forewarned his disciples that he'd be crucified. See, crucifixion was invented by the Persians and adopted by the Romans to execute the most painful death to those who defied Rome. Yet incredibly, Isaiah identified that the promised Messiah would die by crucifixion about 500 years before it was even invented. It says this in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." Get this, verse 5. "But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the chastising of our peace, for our peace fell upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us turned his own way, but the Lord God has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him." 500 years before it was even invented. These are just a couple of numerous prophecies that were fulfilled by Jesus that he had no control over at that time, right there and then. But you see, there was a dilemma at hand. Pilate had this dilemma. You see, Pilate didn't really think that Jesus had done anything wrong, but the Jewish leaders were beating his door down, pressuring him to make a decision to have Jesus put to death. So for Pilate, he had to get to the bottom of it. He was asked to make a decision. He was asked to make a judgment. So he did some research. And he asked Jesus, well, what did you do? And Jesus explained in verse 36, he says this, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not have been delivered over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. Therefore, Pilate said to him, so you are a king? Jesus answered him, you yourself said, I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said to him that very important question, what is truth? You know, the scene's somewhat comical, right? You've got Pilate here, this worldly Roman governor, facing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of the universe. You see, Pilate represents this temporary authority that will soon be swept aside. And we currently belong to this same temporary world. However, Jesus tells Pilate that the kingdom he rules over is not of this world. It doesn't originate from this world. The kingdoms of this earth will not last long. And they're in fact ready to disappear. Jesus sums up his purpose for coming into the world, and it's to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And it's not too different from what he said right at the beginning of his ministry. He said this in Luke 4:18, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Right from the very beginning of his ministry on earth, right to the very end, he was on a rescue mission to save sinners. And guess what? He hasn't stopped. Instead, now he uses sinners saved by grace to reach sinners that are staring down the barrel of eternity without God. Many of us have heeded to his voice, but there's some here today that haven't, and some that are still yet to respond to him. And today, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond to Jesus, to make the right judgment. I'm going to get you to come to the front later on. I'm going to invite you to come to the front, to bow on bended knee and to say, Jesus, take me. Take me as your child. But before we get there, what did Pilate conclude about the guilt of Jesus? Well, Pilate ignored any principles of justice just because he had the power. Pilate then took Jesus and flogged him. And when the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. They put a purple robe on him. And they were coming to him and saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they were giving him slaps in his face. And Pilate came out again and said to him, Behold, I'm bringing him out to you so you may know that I find no guilt in him. You know, it's written about Jesus that he became sin for us, he who knew no sin. The record shows that Pontius Pilate could find no guilt in Jesus, yet he succumbed to the pressure of the religious leaders. To appease them, he allowed an innocent man to be horribly abused and beaten to within an inch of his life. He hoped that this flogging would stop the crowds, and he thought that it would give them enough. But no hand washing could ever remove the stain on his blood guilty hands. So how did Pilate fail the test? Well, we're going to see it in John chapter 9, verse 13. Therefore, when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat of the place called the stone pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now, it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour, so around midday. And he said to the Jews, Behold, your king. So they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! And Pilate said to them, Shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. So he then delivered him over to be crucified. the Jews hated the Roman overlords. Yet their bigotry against Jesus was so intense, they falsely declared their allegiance to Caesar. Pilate succumbed to the opinions of the crowd, and then he delivered him over to be crucified. Crucified on a criminal's cross, an innocent man. That was his judgment. That was Pilate's judgment. That was his call. What about you? What's your judgment on Jesus? On the first Good Friday, God in the flesh, the Savior of the world, endured the most horrific humiliation, given a purple robe and a crown of thorns. He was brutally tortured, rejected by his own people that should have known better, maligned, hated, spat upon, placed on a cross that criminals deserved. Criminals like you and me, that have sinned against God and that have broken his law, who sin against him in thought, word, and action. He endured not just death, but the worst kind of death ever imagined. Death on a Roman cross where he would die by suffocation. All of this, he endured it all for you and me. That we wouldn't have to spend eternity away from him. That's how Good Friday is called good. He uses sinners, saved by grace, to reveal himself to sinners that are destined for eternity without him. Turn away from your sin. Repent. Ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin. You see, it was the sin of man that placed him on that cross. My sin, your sin, that put him there. Yet he bore it all, and he said, "It's finished," that first Good Friday. Are you struggling through life, wondering what's the point? What's the point of all this? What's the point of life? What is truth? Well, today, you can do what Pontius Pilate failed to do. You can make a call, a judgment that will secure your eternity with God forever and live your life how you were designed to live your life, in a relationship with Jesus. If you come and repent and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will indeed be saved. You know, when I made that decision, and when the Lord saved me from my slumber 7 years ago, I was wretched, absolutely wretched. I was living a life that was pleasing only to man, running in the opposite direction to God, trapped in trying to please the people around me. And that's exactly where Pontius Pilate was, pleasing the people around him. Can you relate to that today? But with a decision to follow Christ, you can live a life that is pleasing to God. You know, he has more than met all of my needs, and better than that, he's given me a purpose and a life worth living. Pilate has lived an eternity and will continue to live an eternity of regret, and I don't want that for you. You can start a brand new life today. I'd love to invite the band back up to the stage as we sing another song. And whilst they do that, I'd love if you could do something bold. I'd love if you could think about doing something bold. If you're here today, maybe a friend's brought you along, and Jesus has been speaking to your heart during this whole service, and your conscience is guilty, then I'd invite you to come down during this last song. Come down the front. And we're going to have people down the front that would just love to meet with you and pray with you. Don't walk away from today with your heart hardened like Pontius Pilate's heart was hardened. Ask the Lord to forgive your sins and make peace with God. Jesus paid it all when he went to that cross. Be a part of his rescue mission. I'm going to pray now, and as the band play this last song, I implore you, come. Come into forever with him by kneeling down the front and surrendering and saying, "I give up. I give up trying to find fulfillment and satisfaction in this life. I've tried to find fulfillment and satisfaction in my work. I've tried to find it with money. I've tried to find it in relationships. I've tried to find it on Saturday nights. I've tried to find it on Friday nights. I've tried to find it in a pill. I've tried to find it in alcohol and it doesn't satisfy. Nothing is satisfying. Find fulfillment in the one that can, the only one that can provide true and full fulfillment. And come on bended knee and say, I'm finished. Jesus, I know you're true. I know that you are the true Messiah, that you, only you can provide that full satisfaction. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. Come, come, I urge you, come. Repent and enter into the joy of his salvation. Let me pray. Lord, I ask that you would be working in the hearts, even right now, of those that haven't put their hope and trust in you. Lord, I pray that you would be ministering to hearts, that you would be softening hearts right now, Lord, and that you would bring people here in this auditorium that have never met you, that have never put their, never even thought about putting their hope and trust in you, Lord, that you would do something amazing. Lord, we thank you so much for the cross and all that it means. We thank you that the cross means salvation for us. And it means that we can spend eternity with you. That's how this Friday is called good. That we can spend eternity with you. Lord, I pray that you would do amazing things in this church today. In your name, amen.
Why don't you stand and sing? And we encourage you to respond personally to the personal love of Jesus and all that he's done for us as we sing this song.
Sunday's coming, but I urge you, don't wait until Sunday to give your heart to Jesus. Don't wait until Sunday to call upon the Lord. Ask for the forgiveness of your sins today. Like I said before, we've got people down the front. We've got Peter and Sue down the front that would just love to pray with you. We've got counselors here that would love to speak with you, that would love to hear your story. Talk to the people that invited you along. They'd love to chat with you more about what Jesus has done for you. Friday's good, but Sunday's coming. We thank you so much for being here today. Please stick around after the service. Grab a hot cross bun, grab a coffee, hot chocolate, whatever you fancy in our Terrace Cafe. It's going to be open after our last song. We can't wait to have you back here. Same time, same place. Sunday is coming. The band is going to sing us this last song of victory, that Sunday is coming. So feel free to sit back and listen to exactly what Christ has done for us. Come on.